If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14, we do want to express our thanks. It is our privilege to be one of the preachers on the conference. We've been looking forward to it for a long time since we heard you were having it. All the churches, the members, the workers, those who gave, those who have prayed, those who have come, you've been a blessing to us, and it's been a great conference, and I mean that. I was thinking a while ago of how great it was to be reminded of when I first started going to missionary Bible conferences that you heard the same kind of preaching that we've been hearing so far. Preaching on the church, preaching on the doctrines of grace, preaching on missions, preaching on sanctification, separation, and all of this, and it thrilled my heart. To see that there are so many who still believe these things and love to preach them and love to hear them preached. And so you pray for us as we preach tonight. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus speaking now unto his church, if you please, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are already many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now in verses 27 and through verse 29 of the same chapter, Jesus still speaking to the same church, his kind of a church. "Peace I leave with you. My peace, or my kind of peace, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you." Now here is the reason that Jesus is speaking in the manner in which he's speaking. Here is the reason why he's telling them to be encouraged, telling them to not let their hearts be troubled. He said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." You see, they were sad. Because he had been telling them time after time that he was to be taken by wicked men and by cruel men, hung on the cross, mistreated, abused, and crucified. And the circumstances that surrounded this meeting with the church in this day called for Jesus Christ to give his kind of a church encouraging words for discouraging days. He said, If you loved me, you would rejoice. You would rejoice at what I've been telling you about what was going to take place. You mean that we're to rejoice concerning such discouraging things that are about to take place? Jesus said, if you loved me, you would. All right. He said, "Because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Now let's note to verse 29. "And now I have told you before it come to pass." Jesus said, "Now I've told you these things before they ever come to pass." And now he's going to tell us why he told them. "I have told you before it come to pass, in order that when it is come to pass, you might believe." In other words, I'm telling you this now before it ever comes to pass, so when it does come to pass, you will be encouraged when you believe. Notice again in John chapter 16 and verse 33. In verse 33 of John 16, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. in the world, and he's still talking to his church that was gathered with him, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, brethren, these are encouraging words for discouraging days. You see, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ have always lived among discouraging days. But in all of the discouraging days that the churches of God have ever went through, there are the encouraging words of God to strengthen them and cause them to carry on that which Jesus Christ organized and established them to bring about. Listen to me. Even in the days of Jesus, the early church was living and were experiencing discouraging days, just as you and I today are discouraged or are living in discouraging days. If we were to look upon things that are taking place in Baptist churches, if we were to dwell upon all the bad and the cruel and the terrible things that are going on today, certainly we would be discouraged. And I'm afraid a lot of Baptist churches and Baptist preachers are discouraged. But there's no need to be discouraged. There's no need to be discouraged in these days in which we live, because we have the encouraging words of God for these days. Listen to me, beloved. Before time ever began, before time and this world ever began, eternal God made his plans for every bit of it. And in these plans, he programmed all things that it would be carried out according to his purposes. What God planned in eternity, He planned and programmed it all, and all things to carry out his purposes, even unto the day in which we live and beyond. Amen. Now, if you believe that, that ought to encourage you. That ought to encourage you. Is there anything taking place now that God hasn't already told us about? Why, listen, these are dark and discouraging days that we live in. And brethren, we can drop our heads and we can crawl around and crawl and bring our bottom lip on the floor if we want to. We can shake our heads and wring our hands, and we can feel sorry for ourselves, and we can feel sorry for God that things just seem to be out of control. Or we can take God's word, read it and believe it, and be encouraged. Listen, I'd rather be encouraged than discouraged, wouldn't you? If you're going to discourage me, forget it. I need encouragement, and you need to be encouraged. And in these days in which we live, we ought to be encouraged rather than discouraged. Brethren, Jesus said, I will come again. That's encouraging to know that he's coming again. It's not always going to be like this. It's not always going to be days of discouragement. Jesus said, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. That where I am, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Listen, discouraging days, but encouraging words that you and I have tonight. Words, listen. Words of God and words from the lips and the heart of God that talk about discouraging days, but yet so encouraging when you believe them. You know what's the matter with us? We've been reading the Word of God about days that are discouraging, and we get discouraged with them, and they ought to be encouraging us. You know that? Well, listen to me. First of all, We ought to be encouraged about our salvation that we enjoy tonight. For our salvation, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you don't just have a just happen soul salvation. You don't have accidental salvation tonight. You don't have a work salvation tonight. But you have a salvation that was planned and provided by eternal God before the worlds were ever framed. In the book of Ephesians, read it with me, chapter 1 and verse 4. Listen to these encouraging words of God concerning our salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Brethren, he was writing to a local New Testament Baptist church. "Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has already chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we are in order that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That's encouraging concerning my salvation, to know that before the worlds were ever framed together, God had already planned, God had already provided for those whom he had chosen in Christ Jesus unto salvation. Discouraged? No, I'm not discouraged. Look again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul writing to another New Testament Baptist church who were living in discouraging days. But God gave them encouraging words. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Apostle Paul said, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Why? Because God has come the beginning, and this word "hath" is in the past tense. God has already, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, because of this, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Amen. Encouraging words for discouraging days. In the book of John, chapter 6, and verses 37 and verse 34, listen to the encouraging words of God concerning our great salvation. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I ask you, how many is he going to lose? He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come." Again, in verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." I ask you, brethren, that ought to encourage us in our salvation. That ought to encourage us in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. For he said that every one that the Father giveth me shall come. He said, "Oh my, we're living in such dark days. It's so discouraging. We just can't get anybody saved. You never have. You couldn't even help yourself, let alone someone else." But I'll tell you one thing. We don't need to be discouraged in these days in which we live, for the Bible still stands true. All that the Father has given Christ shall come. Again, in the book of Romans, chapter 8. In Romans, chapter 8. Read with me. In verse 26. Through a few verses. Listen, the Apostle Paul again writing to a New Testament Baptist church, and he said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth," or keeps on helping, "our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, but the Spirit himself maketh," or keeps on making, "intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth," or keeps on searching, "the heart, keeps on knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he keeps on making intercession for the saints according to the will of God." That ought to be encouraging, brethren. All right, now notice verse 28. "And we know," Paul didn't stop, but he said, "and we know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Brethren, I wonder how much of the Word of God do we really believe? We talk about believing the Word of God and then walk around with our lips hanging down to our toenails because we're so discouraged, and yet we'll go around quoting Romans 8:28. Somebody says, "Well, Brother Hall, I'm so sorry that your wife contacted that dreadful disease called cancer." I'm sorry too, but I'm glad. The Bible says that all things work together for good. Brethren, listen to me. I'm not looking for anything bad to come out of this. I'm looking for that which is good. The Bible said that God never sends anything our way in order to hurt or to harm us, but he causes them to work for our good and our behalf. Amen. These things aren't working against us tonight. They're working for us. Amen. And all of the other circumstances, all of the other events are working for us tonight. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what men are doing or what they're trying to do or what they attempt to do. These things are working for us. Amen. Now quit crying about it. Quit crying and complaining about things you can't change. You're not going to change God's eternal plans and purposes. He didn't save us to be discouraged. He saved us that we might be encouraged and encouragers. Listen to me. I'm encouraged tonight because of these encouraging words of God. I can do mission work believing this. Amen. Yes, I can do God's kind of mission work believing this. I don't have to substitute anything. I don't have to go learn any new methods. I don't have to go find any something else that will do the work that God has always done according to his plans and his purposes. I find it that I can do it like it's always been done. Why? Because of the encouraging words of God concerning our salvation. Same way we were saved, same way God's always going to save people. He's not going to change now just because everybody's getting excited. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul, writing to a Baptist preacher concerning preaching the gospel and do mission work. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, Paul says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel," the same gospel I'm preaching, "wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." Listen to this. You think Paul didn't have his troubles? You think he didn't have his problems? You think he didn't have his days of discouragement? You think that events and circumstances weren't bad? In Paul's day, they sure were. But listen to Paul. He was encouraged. He said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound." I don't care what churches do. I don't care what men do. They're not going to tie God's word up and put it in a sack and keep it from accomplishing what God sends it out to do. Amen. Now listen, Paul said the word of God is not bound. He's encouraged by the word of God, because in verse 10 he says, "Therefore, because God's word is not bound, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know why I'm not changing? You know why I'm going to stay with the Word of God? You know why I'm going to do mission work just as God called me to do it? Because the Word of God is not bound, and because I want to do it God's way, and there's no other way in which it can be done and get the job done and please God. I don't care how discouraged or how encouraged people might be in other things. I'm going to keep right on preaching the Word of God because I'm encouraged to preach the gospel just like Paul did. Amen. Brethren, you take your Bibles in the book of Acts and you follow the Apostle Paul and those brethren with them. And every city, every town, every village they went to, the Bible said they kept doing the same thing. They preached the gospel. You go back there and read it, and every time you read it, you'll get the same mental picture I did. When Brother Titus sent out the schedules and told you who was going to preach, if you knew me, if you read on there and said Parvin Hall was going to preach, you know what kind of a mental picture you got? You know what kind of a mental picture you got? You could just see me standing up here preaching the Word of God, couldn't you? Huh? Well, sure you could. Well, listen, brethren. If God had ever taught you anything else, why didn't you see me up here with something else in my hand? Because the Word of God projects the same picture every time you read it about preaching the Word of God. God uses men, and He uses their tongues, their lips, to preach His Word. Don't you tell me we've got to have these jing-a-lings and ding-a-lings and all of these things that people have come up with today. We don't need anything else to do the kind of mission work that God's churches have always done. There's no use changing now, brethren. We're too close to home. We're too close to the coming of the Lord to turn away and grab something else. Let's stay with the Word of God. Let's be encouraged by the Word of God. Secondly, we ought to be encouraged about the Lord's churches tonight. Oh, yes, brethren. You ever heard so many things that are wrong with Baptist churches? There's a lot of things wrong with a lot of Baptist churches, so-called, and there are some things that are wrong with real Baptist churches that I don't like. But I'm encouraged about the Lord's kind of churches. You know why? That's the only kind there are. Not only that, but it's the only kind they're going to be when the Lord comes back. They've been here ever since He came. They're going to be here when He comes back. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, you say, Brother Hall, we've already read that. I know it, but did you get encouraged? You ever notice how we read things and it just don't mean anything to us? Or you say, I believe that truth. I believe that Jesus Christ established His church, and I don't believe anything's going to happen to it. He's going to come back and redeem it unto Himself. Well, listen, brethren, did it encourage you? It ought to. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, speaking of Himself, I will build my kind of church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Name one enemy. Name one power that's big enough to wipe all the churches of Jesus Christ from off the face of the earth. All right, then, why aren't we encouraged about it? Why aren't we encouraged about our churches tonight? Rather than be discouraged because some aren't acting right and because some aren't doing right, why be discouraged? Brethren, it's always been like that. The only thing is, it's finally hit our day, and it's got us down, most of us. Well, listen, I'm encouraged about it. Well, I wouldn't want to be anything other than a Baptist just like we are here. Unless it's a better one. Isn't that right? Would you want to be anything else tonight? No, not unless it was a better Baptist. But listen, when we come together and agree upon the Word of God, we ought to be encouraged by that Word. Why, what do you think he told us that? He'd build his own kind of a church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it if the gates of hell didn't try. Why would he tell us about this if it wasn't going to be attempted? You see, the devil don't like us. The world has never received us. And that's discouraging. But the encouraging word of God is that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 28. We've read this, haven't we, several times. I wonder how encouraged we were. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them. Listen, brethren, he wasn't just talking to anybody. Talking to his kind of church. The same kind ours came out of. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. Poor little Jesus, he just can't control things around here on earth. Why, he has authority in heaven and earth and everywhere else. Here in between. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am. I am. It's not I might be. It's not that I might catch up with you if you get ahead. It's not that I'll sit down and wait on you if you get too far behind. But I am right now with you.
Amen.
How far? All the way. That's encouraging, isn't it? Ah, listen, brethren. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged to seek out those kind of churches. I'm encouraged to fellowship with them. I'm encouraged to work with them. You say, Brother Hall, what kind of Baptist do you want to do mission work with? The same kind that I'm talking about in the Bible. Those who believe the truth. Those who are willing to guard it. Those who are willing to practice it. I can preach church truths tonight because of the encouraging words of Jesus Christ. That not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Listen, everywhere I go, I can expect to find some of the Lord's churches. Right? But if I should go and find there are none somewhere, then I'm expected to start some. That's Baptist business. That's Baptist work. And so we ought to get on to it. We ought to get on to the work that God has called us to do. These are encouraging words for discouraging days. Brethren, I'm encouraged tonight because the Apostle Paul said that God is able to call things before they ever come to pass as if they were already done. And just exactly what we're going through today, just what we've been going through and what we shall go through in the future, God has already called them as if they'd already come to pass. Now we can either be discouraged or encouraged. And if God's already called them as if they'd already happened, then He's in control. We might as well be encouraged about it. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. Not ashamed of what I practice. Not ashamed of what I preach. I'm not ashamed of what I am. Brethren, you have never heard me attempt to justify what I have been doing.
Amen.
No, I don't have to. Encouraging words. Stick with the Word of God. You don't have to defend what you're doing.
Amen.
You say, Brother Hall, defend your policy on mission. Don't have to. Read the Word of God. It defends itself. I can lay down on that and sleep at night, can't you? I can lay down and sleep on that, brethren. I can preach it today, turn around three times tomorrow, get up here and preach it again, still say the same thing. It wouldn't change it if I tried to preach it differently. Wouldn't change it a bit. But listen to me. We'll not only be encouraged about our salvation, our churches today that belong to the Lord, but we ought to be encouraged concerning the circumstances that we find ourselves in today. We ought to be encouraged by the Word of God concerning the attitude and actions of so many people in this day in which we live. You know, we look at them and preachers preach about them, and boy, it seems so black and discouraging, doesn't it? Try to live in a world so wicked and so mean. Well, it is wicked. It is mean. And you know why? Because we're still here. That's right. Listen to the Word of God. God calls them as if they'd already come to pass. Exactly the day we live in, God has already called it out. He's already spelled it out. It's in the Word of God. If we'll read it, and if we read it, it'll talk about discouraging days, but the same words that talk about discouraging days will be encouraging. Let's read it and see if it doesn't happen. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Now, brethren, I believe there's a difference in the latter times and the last days. In verse 1 of 2 Timothy, Paul said, "This know also," he said, you ought to know this too, "that in the last days," that in the last days, "perilous times," or "dangerous times," "shall come." Brethren, that sounds discouraging, but that's encouraging when you live in those days, because in the last days, he's talking about right before Jesus Christ comes again. All right, now why will they be so perilous? Why will they be so dangerous? In verse 2, he proceeds to tell us why. He says, "For," and that word "for" means "because." "Because men shall be lovers of their own selves." All right, now let's read these and let's just see if all these things aren't taking place, happening, being manifested openly in our day in which we live. We've never seen it like that before. We've seen a few of them here and a few of them there down through the days of our lives, but I'm telling you, they all are happening at the same time. Amen. He said in the last days it'd all be happening at the same time. "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Now, brethren, you could preach on every one of them, but every one of them are true in our day. It's never been like that before. I mean, there's been a few here and a few there down through the days, but I'm telling you to read it again and see if you don't see every one of them openly. Now, it's always been, but most of them have been closed and secret. But today, they're practiced openly. He said, "disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Well, I wish I had time. "Traitors, heady, which creep into houses," into homes. What's happening to the home? Not only in America, but the world over. In Iran, this country, and every country. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Brethren, you know what he was talking about in our day? He was talking about the women's liberation movement. That is exactly right. You know what's happening today? In every home in this world, women are being taken out of the house, led out of the home, into the factories, into the government, as heads of churches and organizations as never before. And that's exactly what he said they'd be doing in the last days right before Christ came back. Amen. The greatest movement in our world today is leading the mothers and the wives and the daughters out of the home, out of the church. Brethren, whatever happens to our homes happens to the churches of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you take the women out of the home, you don't have a home. That's exactly what it's done. That's exactly what's taking place today, just as God said that it would. You say, that's discouraging. That's encouraging. He said that right before he came back, they'd be doing this. That encourages me. I don't know about you. I'll show you something else that encourages me. In verse 7, he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They're not saved. They're false religions. They're false teachers under the guise of salvation. You say, boy, that's discouraging. No, that's encouraging because, see, you forgot to read verse 9. Read it and see. He says, but. Well, that makes a lot of difference. He said they'll be doing all these things right before Christ comes back. But they, that he's just talking about, they shall proceed no further. You say, Brother Hall, how far are people going to go? And how far is God going to let this thing go? Just as far as he's already planned and programmed it to go. And then no further. All right, now are you big enough to stop God's plans? You ought to quit trying. I didn't say quit preaching. I said quit trying to change God's plan. Brethren, listen. You don't see very many people crawling down the aisles crying today, broken over sin and shame in their lives. But are you going to quit preaching it? You say, I haven't yet. Then keep on preaching it, but be encouraged. He said in the last days, that's where it'd be. Well, that's what's happened today. You see, well, we've got to go on so I can close. Encouraging words for discouraging days. Not only the attitudes and actions of people in the days in which we live, but notice what God's Word said about the coldness of the love of God's people toward Him in the day in which we live. God says something about that in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Now listen. I know that we have to be careful when we get in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. But if I understand it right, it was members of a New Testament Baptist church who came to Jesus and said, tell us. And he proceeded to tell them. And brethren, I want you to read with me verses 4 through 14 of Matthew 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, discouraged, or encouraged tonight. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, we've seen every one of these things. We've heard of them down through history. Every one of these things he's already talked about. They've come to pass. But he said, now don't get discouraged because these must come to pass. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and